On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number again, 860-0850, pound 850 on an Alltel cell phone. It's a free call. Welcome to our second hour. We're talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of ACLU of North Carolina. We're sponsored this morning by Computer Renaissance with two great area locations, one at Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary and the other at North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. What did you say?
It's a giveaway, remind.
Oh, yeah, we will. Also by Mindspring, and you reach Mindspring at www.mindspring.com or 888-M-SPRING on the phone if you don't have service yet. Coming up next break, be the, Chris, sixth caller. Why? Boy, first time Chris uses both hands. It was always 3, 4, 5. Good.
Now you use both hands. And,
that's 20.
And other appendages for you.
Six caller to 860-0850 or pound 850 if you're in your car, Alltel cell phone, free call, to win Microsoft Money 99, Fast and Easy, a book by Prima Press. Let's go back and talk. We're talking about privacy and censorship issues on the internet. Who are some of the plaintiffs that I don't want to use the word, use the ACLU to, you know, who are some of your clients?
Well, in these internet censorship cases, there are bookstores and booksellers. There's a group called ArtNet that has artistic stuff that's online. And as a matter of fact, we talked about how the new Son of CDA or CDA 2 would make certain famous works of art be illegal to disseminate through the internet.
Right.
Electronic Frontier Foundation. There's a website or an organization called Condom Mania. You like that?
Condom Mania.
Which is another example of why the law is ineffective. It gets rid of good, important information that both adults and teenagers need, and it doesn't do an effective job of blocking out the stuff that people really think is harmful to minors.
Okay, and I want to remind everybody that the giveaway is that when we come back, when we go out to the next break, which will be 9:20, not now, 9:20.
You know, one thing Deborah said, it was also mentioned by...
Let me just mention again that our number is 860-0850, pound 850, if you're in an Alltel cell phone. Free call.
No, Deborah
said...
And
if you want to ask any questions...
I'm going to throw something at you at any minute.
You talk about censorship. See what happens on this show?
He controls the board. So
beep. Go ahead.
Now, one of the things that was in the letter that I got, the response from my congressman... And I know Deborah wants to mention, and I think it's true, that we need to talk about how you can contact your congressman.
God, this is amazing. You have a congressman. You have a congressman. I don't have one. I mean, do I get one?
No one wants to represent you.
Where do you get one? My congressman.
One of the things that he mentioned in his letter was that a concern he has about this legislation is that it gives parents a false sense of security about protecting their kids from internet issues, and that's a very real concern. We all know, we who are in the business, have any contact with the business, that most of this blocking software is relatively easy to undermine or to avoid or to crack or
to get around.
And so if you put it on and walk away and say, well, my kids are safe, ain't going to be the case.
No,
very long.
That's right. And your kid's not going to have the benefit of your wisdom and judgment in teaching them how to use the internet.
Absolutely. I don't look at it as just using the internet.
Right.
I think that's life.
Right.
Well, that's
the
point.
Yeah.
The internet is just another way to approach
right.
the world.
Right.
And you tune to Computers 98 on 850. The buzz, the numbers again, 860-850-850 on an old cell phone. Free call. Here, you're talking about your congressman and this. And how do people get in touch with the lawmakers, the legislators?
Well, locally, you know, your House and Senate members, you can get to through the legislature's website, which is www.ncga, that's North Carolina General Assembly, .state.nc.us. And then you pull up their whole website and you can just click on anybody who represents you. But, you know, I know you all did a program a few months ago about a net nanny bill that was introduced in the North Carolina General Assembly. Well, they're gone for a couple months, but I'm sure that net nanny bill will come back. And your listeners can get up with Senator Cooper or Representative Neely or Representative Daughtry through that website, www.ncga.state.nc.us, and tell them not only that these kinds of laws are unconstitutional, but they're not effective. They block out a lot of important information. So you can get to your state legislators that way. Now, the ACLU makes it really easy to get to your congressman. You can go to www.aclu.org and click on the issues, and you can get into all the cyber liberties issues. And they have form letters that you can send to your member of Congress. They even have this new letter that you can send to Janet Reno, telling her not to enforce this son of CDA bill. You want me to read? It's short. No.
Man.
Go find it. Click on it. And it lets you send it directly to her email address at the Justice Department. So it's just a couple keystrokes, and you've taken some important political action.
Yeah, EFF has a kind of link, too.
Exactly.
To representatives in Congress. In fact, that's how I oftentimes contact my legislator. And if you check these sites, if you have a concern about your privacy, your children's privacy, your children's access to the Internet, take a look at these sites, take a look at issues, and write to these people.
Yeah. People, you know, congressmen and senators and representatives, they say that if they get 10 contacts on any issue, they seriously consider changing their position. So it just takes 10 people to get in touch with them.
So if they get 2 or 3... emails from the site or from anywhere, then they ignore it.
Well,
but if
it doesn't
they get
mean
10 of them,
no, it doesn't mean they ignore it. It means that they might think about it, but it's probably going to take around 10 to get them to change their position. So tell your closest friends too.
And on the phone we have Janice from Raleigh.
Yeah,
good morning,
hi,
Janice.
Amnon. Good Hi. Morning. I am wondering if the religious right understands that if this legislation is passed, as I understand it to have been described this morning, that it may ban the reading of the Bible on the Internet.
Well, that's a great point. There are a couple things I have to say about that. Number one, it has passed, and the president signed it, and the ACLU has already sued about it. Number two, there are some religious sites that have been blocked. So that's absolutely true. You're absolutely right.
And how do we let those people know? Go to our churches, advise the ministers of what's really happening?
You absolutely can do that. And that's an important thing. It's also an important thing to tell politicians that those sites can be blocked because, you know, the politicians, once they learn stuff like that, they can use that defensively if people accuse them of, you know, not caring about kids if they vote against this kind of law.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great point.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And what do we have here? We have Scott.
Hello.
Good morning, Scott.
Morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to say that a lot of companies and people have tried to market the web as an entertainment medium, and sometimes parents might think of it as an entertainment medium for their kids, and the entertainment that we're used to, television and movies, have their own censorship in place. And Web TV is a perfect example. And so it's easy for people to get confused about, you know.
What do you say is a perfect example of what?
Of marketing the web as an entertainment medium.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're used to those TV and movies as having their own censorship, people are not used to the web in that there's no built-in self-censoring mechanism yet. So it's easy for people to make that mistake, I think.
Okay.
So we just need to be vigilant. You're right.
Yeah, I think, you know, well, shows like this where people talk about it and people understand a little bit more.
The thing about Web TV and that wave top that we were talking about, the receiving, these people also have ways to, they themselves control what you get
right
at your end, because it's not just a full feed. Oh, no, Web TV is a full feed. It's internet, but Wavetop, they control what comes, what channels come to you, and they can exclude a lot of stuff. All right, Scott, thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Okay, thanks.
And you tune your computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again 860-0850 #850 on an old tail cell phone, free call. Let's go back to NetNanny.
Mm-hmm.
You're convincing, your argument is convincing, actually. I mean, how I quote myself before.
So you're going to go home and take
it off? Realize no, I'm not. Because the thing is that it's, in a way, look, she has the password, how to override it.
This is your daughter.
But I have the log in there to know where and which website were.
Mm-hmm.
She went to. That's a good thing to do. See, parents should do
right.
that. Great
so
thing to do.
She can override it anytime she wants to. But, I mean, if I go and I see that she went to www.text.com, you know, hey, come on, what's this for?
So after you go in and check it out, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, so far I don't have any problem. I mean, if I find out, then you talk. I mean, you have a talk in the beginning. You say why this is on. And really, I said many times, I didn't put it on because she was using a computer. I put it on because her boyfriend was using the computer, and he was doing... That's why I got NetNanny. And I said, this is going to stop, and you're not going to be able to go, because I found some sites that were clicked on. And ever since, I didn't have a problem, because he's no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any
still
problem.
Still the boyfriend?
No, he's not.
Well, is that a good thing?
That's a very good thing.
Okay. Just checking these
yeah.
things out.
But it's a way for you. I mean, it does provide some peace of mind to know that, okay, here, now you can go and check, and, oh, boy, it makes me feel good. Didn't do anything like that. So, and it builds a trust, because you say, well, you know, this is why she has the password.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would come in the beginning when... And every time I go to Bugnet, if you go, every time it'll hang NetNanny, because they have words in there that NetNanny doesn't like, and you have to override it. And in the beginning, I used to override for Hannah, but I saw where she was going, and it was really, you know, I mean, come on, there's no reason to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she got the password, and I gave it to her. I said, you can do it anytime.
Isn't there a piece of software out there that will... Well, and I thought the piece of software that's being advertised on the IMS program by Bo Deedle, One Tough Computer Cop,
mm-hmm.
is exactly that log reading software.
Oh, every program has a log. Let's talk about it when we come back. Remember, sixth caller to 860-0850 or #850 if you are on an Altel cell phone to win Microsoft Money 99 fast and easy. A book by Prima Press, and your calls are coming up next right here on 850 The Buzz. Back to computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our winner, Jeff Garrett of Wake Forest. Jeff, you won Microsoft Money 99 fast and easy from Prima Press. And our number again, 860-0850 #850 on an Altel cell phone. It's a free call if you're in your car. We're talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of the ACLU of North Carolina, talking about privacy issues and censorship issues. We're talking about libraries and whether or not we should have NetNanny or the like software running on computers there. Mm-hmm. But it's not just libraries. There are many places today, public places,
mm-hmm.
that, thank God, provide computers to people that otherwise will not have, otherwise don't have the access to the Internet. But it brings with it its own problems of who oversees it.
Well, again, it goes down to setting good guidelines for the use, teaching people how to use the Internet responsibly. I mean, people who don't have computers at home mm-hmm. only can get this information
right.
off the Internet at the libraries. And to have blocking software at libraries really closes off some very valuable website information to people who have no other access to it. You know, there.
But couldn't you argue that, but it gives them a whole lot more than they would have otherwise?
Well, that's kind of like saying, you know, it's okay to be a sharecropper because you're not a slave. Give me a break. This okay. is a free society.
Okay.
Now, these are examples of websites that have been blocked by blocking software in libraries. So let me tell you what they are,
okay?
The American Family Association is a nonprofit group founded in 1977 by Donald Wildman. This is a family values group that was blocked because they said objectionable words that got filtered
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
Banned books online got filtered out. The Religious Society of Friends, going back to the earlier caller who said, you know, the Bible might get blocked
mm-hmm.
out. A Safer Sex page got blocked out. The American Association of University Women in Maryland got blocked out. They talked about, you know, health issues for women. One of the columnists who publishes in the San Francisco Examiner got blocked out. So this is a newspaper that the kid could pick up at the coffee, you know.
Okay.
So,
right.
Anyway.
Now, wait a second. Okay. So now, here comes the ACLU and said, no, you should not do that.
Right.
Is it a situation of, no, you should not do it, we think there are better ways, here they are, or
exactly.
you didn't get into that?
No, there are better ways, and as
okay.
a matter of fact, there's this great publication that you can get on our website, which is www.aclu.org, and it's this new publication came out in June 1998 called Censorship in a Box, Why Blocking Software is Wrong for Public Libraries. It answers a lot of questions, tells you about blocking software, and then gives it. There's a whole section called Teaching Responsibility Solutions That Work, and there's information about guidelines. Then there's also information about links to really good websites that will let kids go into a lot of other things, like this thing, 700 plus great sites, amazing, spectacular, mysterious.
What does that remind me of 700 Club?
No, it's not the 700 Club. It's maintained by the American Library Association, so it gives information about that. There's even a brochure for parents on how to teach their kids to be safe online at this website called www.safekids.com. There's a whole bunch of information. It's about a 15-page publication in print, and you can just download the whole thing. Tells you everything about it. Tells you about blocking software, everything.
Well, that's great. And obviously, we all in agreement here about the fact that it's education and responsible adults to teach the kids what to do and what not to do. To just take a piece of software and stick it on a computer
mm-hmm.
and here is wrong. Absolutely. That very irresponsible. I don't know about wrong. I'll call it irresponsible because it doesn't do anything. It really is it messes up just as much as it fixes.
Does the word stupid come to mind?
Yeah. Probably.
In your own home,
yeah.
you can do it, but it's not going to get you really what you want.
No, but again, I want to stress that even at home, if you
mm-hmm.
just take it out of the box and put it, it's
mm-hmm.
irresponsible.
That's right.
You are not protecting your kid from anything.
Mm-mm.
So go to the site www.aclu.org and get that book, which here, if you're responsible enough, you will do it, and you will get it, and you'll read about better ways of doing it, maybe, and you'll find out that certain things that you were thinking about maybe are better. Now, I was going to ask, is there also a book somewhere that says why censorship in libraries is a good thing?
I'm sure somebody has that information. However, I don't have it here. They can call in.
Responsible adults can go out there and maybe find it. Right? Come on, Larry.
I'm just thinking.
Never mind. Anyway. No, don't, please don't do that to us. We have Mike from Raleigh.
Hello there.
Hello.
Number one, I want to say how much I appreciate having Deborah Ross and Paula Wolf speak on your program. They're saying wonderful things. And I wanted to point out with regard to libraries and censorship that when this bill came up in the General Assembly in the summertime, I was at Chapel Hill and looked at the library there and got their statements. They have some wonderful statements on supervision of children and parental responsibility and the role of the library and freedom of information. I think they've got excellent policies.
Great.
Mike is a member of PIN and RTPNet. And Mike, we're putting the computers, even in the like when we talk about Birchwood and the other places, which are community centers,
mm-hmm.
right? And what happens in these places if somebody is not standing behind the kid watching what they're doing, or worse yet, if at one station, let's say that Paul was an extreme to one side or another, and he would be there and kids want to go and read about certain aspects of religion, he said, no, you can't do that. This is censorship. Even though it's in his best judgment, he should not allow the kids to go and read about worshiping in Japan. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is censorship, right? So we're still, I mean, if we don't use a piece of equipment or a piece of software to block certain sites, we are leaving the judgment for deciding where the kids should go in a public place in the hands of the person who is in charge of the place, right?
Oh, well, in Chapel Hill, what they're doing is they're saying, we're not going to be your net nanny.
Mm-hmm.
You supervise your child.
But so that's very good, because that, again, puts it on the parent's shoulders.
And they've written it out.
Where it belongs.
They've written it out. It's spelled out. It's available in paper. Maybe it's online there, too.
But does that mean that the kid cannot come in and do it on their own? Or does
they
that...
They can.
They can.
No, I don't think it means the kid can't be bare on his loan. It just means that if somebody says, this kid is looking at X, Y, or Z, the library says, well, that's the parent's problem, not mine.
So
you don't want your kid in the library? Don't let him go to the library.
Hmm. Okay.
That's, some parents don't want their kids in libraries.
What were you going to say, Larry?
No, I just think that the issue of who's watching the watchers and watching the watchers is always the issue of democracy.
That's what Milton said.
That's right. You go out there and it's messy and there ain't anything any better.
Yeah, that's
just
that's
never been anything any better.
All right.
Thanks much.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, it's and let me remind everybody, our number is 860-0850, #850 on an old tail cell phone. You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850, The Buzz.
See, and when Deborah talks about the freedom of the Internet in public places.
And Deborah is Deborah Ross,
Deborah
the
is.
Executive Director of
ACLU North Carolina.
Right, and the legal director.
And the legal
director. Yeah.
She's a lawyer.
Yeah, don't belittle it. And
I didn't belittle that. I just belittle lawyers. They're little. I shouldn't say that.
Go on.
But it's not a large stretch of the imagination to extrapolate to what the Internet has meant and freedom of information has meant to societies throughout the world, like the Chinese on Tiananmen Square, like the Soviets who were able to overthrow, get rid of whatever you may think of what's going on, freedom of information has meant a difference in a lot of people's lives and for the better, in my opinion. And to try to restrict this is simply trying to, it's not in the interest of what makes, again, I hate to sound so patriotic, what makes this country great, and that is we have the First Amendment, which says you can say what you want to say so long as you are not directly harming somebody else. Mm-hmm. And why should the Internet be any different? It's simply a means of communication. And it happens to be cheaper, better, faster, the best technology we've come up with. Let's don't put a bottleneck on it.
Deborah, you have something?
No, I agree.
So what are we doing now?
Why?
I think
we covered the Big Kahuna segment, sort of, because... We give a bunch of URLs this morning.
Well, I can go back.
You have some?
Yeah, well,
no,
I just want to go back and review them because
okay,
it's important
let's go.
To know.
We'll go for it. It's time.
The one that Deborah's been talking about all day is www.aclu.org, which is the official website of the ACLU. The Electronic Frontier Foundation is www.eff.org, and that's a organization which has been to sponsor the Blue Ribbon Campaign for Freedom of Expression on the Internet. And then there's www.epic.org, which is the Electronic Privacy Info Center. And then the last one along this lines is the one, it's a little longer, so you may need to write this one down, www.ncga.state.nc.us, which is the site to go to get the email addresses of all the local representatives. The national ones you can get off EFF or ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all those. And then for all of those of you who want SP4, you can go to Microsoft's site, or you can go to my favorite NT site, which is Conitech.com.
Or you can go to...
Or you can... You be careful now.
I don't think so.
The evil empire will fly its ship over your house.
All right. 860-0850, pound 850 on the old cell phone. Yeah, what was that?
The evil empire getting back at you.
Uh-huh.
See, you gave away a Microsoft book, too, so don't...
Deborah, I mean, these things will only get worse and worse and grow to bigger and bigger problems as time goes on. Or they could actually lose... People will lose interest in it in a way that probably in the early 70s, when cable, you know, I mean, they were all the X-rated. And people say, oh, but what if kids? And today, it's all over.
Right. And we have Jerry Springer in the afternoon.
Right. And it's up to the parents.
Somebody should talk about it.
And nobody's making a big deal about it.
That's right.
Because everybody's sort of like...
they're used to it.
Accepted the fact... I don't know about it. Got used to it. Yeah, he got used to it, but accepted the fact that it's up to the parents
right.
to go there and turn that TV off or change it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or teach the kid why not to.
Right.
This may happen. The same thing may happen on the Internet.
The same thing may happen on the Internet. The difference between the Internet and TV or cable, and I think that this is the scary thing to parents and why they get irrational and why these ineffective laws are passed, is the kids know more about the technology than their parents. The kids know more about the technology than the congressmen who are writing the laws. You know, so the kids can already wire themselves around the law, before the law's even been passed. And parents always get scared when their kids know more than they do.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I think that there's kind of an extra incentive to try to do something in the law about this. But the fact of the matter is that the next generation is always smarter than the last generation. And we just need to accept that and respect them for it and teach them how to exercise good judgment with all this knowledge that they have.
Okay. On that note, your calls are coming up next. Right here on 850, The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 on an Alltel cell phone. It's a free call. With us in the studio today, Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of ACLU of North Carolina. We're talking about
privacy issues, censorship issues. I'm going to go to the dentist after this show.
That would be good.
Uh-huh.
I can suggest other things, but...
Okay. Net Nanny will kill it.
No, nothing. No, it's a G-rated show.
Deborah. It's whatever you make it.
You mentioned, and I agree, that one of the big problems is the lack of knowledge on the part of the people who make legislation about technology. Is there anything going on to make these people more literate, technically?
Well, some of them actually are literate. They're just not the ones who want to pass the bad legislation. But some of them are becoming, you know, more interested in the computer, more savvy about the computer. I don't know that much about our congressmen and women and what they know, but there are some people at the North Carolina General Assembly who really do understand the technology, but they're not the ones who are pushing the censorship stuff. The ones who are pushing the censorship stuff don't even, like, read their own email. They have their secretaries print out their email for them. So, you know, we're talking about people who are regulating things that they have no earthly idea how to use. You know, they think that you turn on your computer and sex stuff starts coming at you through the, you know, computer screen. And, you know, I get online three or four times a day, you know, to check my email or to look things up. It's a great thing for people who do public affairs and do legal work because there's so many great websites out there. And I have never, ever had any kind of sexually oriented material come into my email, come to me based on the websites that I go to. Now, then again, I go to websites to deal with the law, you know, to deal with. But I'd go to political websites, and that hasn't been a kicker for anything. And so I think that people just think it's like turning on your TV set, you know, to something objectionable. And it really isn't. You have to go out and find this stuff.
You have to look for it. Yeah, absolutely.
And a curious kid who can find this stuff is going to be able to find this stuff no matter what mom and dad do.
Right. And if it's not on the computer, it'll go down to the bookstore.
Right.
And if it's not a bookstore, it's a newsstand. And it's right. Tuesday, it's around the corner.
And that's not new. I mean, my brothers knew exactly where my father kept Playboy in our house. You know, they figured it out. It didn't take long.
It's a problem that will not go away until parents, again, goes down to, until parents take charge and accept the responsibility. We have to educate our kids to these things. They go to school, they learn about math, they learn about Spanish, they learn about this and that. They don't learn about that in school.
No.
And that's something that we have to do. And unfortunately, some don't do a good job, some do a great job.
Right. And if you're looking for information about how to do that with your kid, this publication, the Censorship in a Box publication that the ACLU has, really has some good tips for how to do it. It talks about how you can figure out what sites your kid has looked at. You can discuss that with your child if you think that some of the sites are objectionable. You yourself can go into the sites and see what's there. It'll give you something to talk to your child about.
And you get it at www.aclu.org. And it's Censorship in a Box publication. Okay, and your calls are coming up next, right here on 850, The Buzz. A presidential theme. All right, welcome to Computers 98 on 850.
I won't even touch that one.
Our number is 860-0850, pound 850. If you're an Altel cell phone customer, it's a free call. And we're talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director of and Legal Director of the ACLU of North Carolina.
A technology whiz.
I know. what do you have?
What do I have? Well, I was just looking at Paul's column today, which we were talking about Paul Gilster. He was talking about Apple, one of our least favorite topics. I haven't had a chance to read the newspaper because your people get me here too early. They had to go buy bagels and all this stuff.
No cream cheese.
I know. I heard. you'd be lucky that we won't do what we do. Some people will send cream cheese to your house in truckloads.
No, thank you.
Come on.
Do you want to
say goodbye?
Say goodbye to anybody, because today I want to get out gracefully, not...
Rather than the way we got in, right? Yeah, say... Yes. Goodbye to my wife, Paula, who called and made her point, and to my daughter, who probably should be awake now since she has to work on her college applications all day today, darling. So...
Okay. Let's recap here.
Yes.
Thing that people need to do early today. Or tomorrow when they get to work, and if they don't have computers at home to do it, is to get your publication, that publication from the ACLU.
Censorship in a box.
Censorship in a box. Tell them again, to those who are just joining, what it will allow them to do.
What it does is it talks about all the filtering softwares, why it's not good to mandate that they be attached to library computers, but also gives parents the tools that they need to teach their kids how to use the Internet responsibly and to track what their children have been looking at on the Internet. And then you can get that at www.aclu.org. And at that same website, you can get information about the new Communications Decency Act, which is called the Child Online Protection Act, kind of a loaded title. But what it really does is it cuts out adults' access to information, and it fines people $50,000 a day for commercially disseminating information that could actually be helpful to people. So you can get information about that. You can write a letter to Janet Reno and email it to her through that website. There's a lot of things that you can do to ensure that the Internet is, still can be a medium for the free exchange of ideas.
What do you think Janet Reno uses for Internet filtering?
Janet's a big girl. Janet's seen it all.
What browser does she use? That's
I wonder what the people that are promoting NetNanny and all that, and without knowing really how it works, if they were listening to us today, I wonder if they would go home and say, or if they would get up to the computer and say, let's find out if it blocks, you know, the sites you were mentioning, what they would think. I would think that they'll be too proud to come up and say, oh, you know, we were wrong about that. I'll tell you what, we have two more minutes. Oh, I thought... David, yeah, I thought that we had... Sorry, David, we had some technical difficulties here, and sorry about cutting you off. It's something is happening. And anyway, it's 2 minutes. I don't think we could have done justice. Maybe we can talk next week. Thanks for calling, though. All right. So I don't think they will come back and say we were wrong. You know, let me change what I was saying, because there's too much pride here too. And some of them may be sitting home and saying, "Gee, I know I'm wrong. I didn't know all this when I proposed this, but I have to stick with it now." And this is wrong, that people can't just say, hey, let's change. It was, you know, 2 months ago, I believed in it. Today, I don't believe in it, because I learned. Because I didn't research it back then.
Oh, and don't forget to vote Tuesday, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there coming up. This is a big deal.
For, and what...
I make no recommendations.
I didn't ask
go
for
vote.
Recommendations. I said, what happened? I was going to say, what happened if there's NetNanny sitting there at the...
Yeah,
you get
to vote
anonymously.
Yeah. So.
All right. I guess that's it. Anything else you want to mention? www.aclu.org.
Well, I really enjoyed it, guys. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. And that's it for today, then. Thanks for tuning in to 850 The Buzz and to Computers 98.